1 Corinthians chapter 11 tonight. Tonight's communion service, and we try not to be long, but a thought. You know, sometimes in communion services, preachers preach about everything else and then come to the communion. I like to focus on the communion. Amen. I like to focus on God's gift to us, and that's just what Jesus was showing them and wanted us to remember what he had done. And, you know, sometimes folks ask, well, why do we take communion? A lot of folks don't even know, and a lot of folks go to church and don't even realize why they take communion. They just go through the motions because it's always been done. That's what we want to look at tonight, is why communion? Why do we take communion? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, everybody looks wore out tonight, so I'm just going to let you stay seated. Let's read verses 23 down through 32. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever eateth this bread and drinketh this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when men are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Our Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Lord, we thank you for this communion service that we've gathered here to partake of. And Lord, we just ask you tonight to stir our hearts and our lives and to help us, dear God, tonight in remembering, Father, what you've done for us. Remember, Lord, the things that we need to deal with in our own lives, that we might find ourselves in the place where you'd have us to be, doing what you'd have us to do, living like you'd have us to live. And God, that we might honor you in all that we do. And we'll praise you tonight, Lord, for what you've done and what you're going to do in Jesus' name. We say amen. A little girl watched her mom cooking a steak, and she asked her mother, she said, "Mom, why do you cut the ends of the steak before you cook it?" And her mom says, "Well, I guess that's to let the seasoning get down into the steak better." She said, "But you know, your grandmother's always done it. She's the one that taught me to do it. Go ask her." So she went to her grandmom. She said, "Grandmom, I got a question for you." She says, "What's that?" She says, "Why do you always cut the ends of the steak before you cook it?" And grandmother said, "Well, I guess it's to let the juices get down into the meat just a little bit better, so that the meat is not all dried out and stuff." She said, "But you know, if you go ask your Nana, she said, she's the one that taught me to do this when I was young, and maybe she can tell you the reason why." And she went to her great-grandmother, and she crawled up on her lap and said, "Nana, why do you always cut the ends of the steak before you cook it?" And grandmother said, "Well," she said, "my pan was too little for the steak to fit in." You know, sometimes we do things and we just do them because it's what's always been done. You know, and just like these women, they didn't really know why they'd done it, but somebody had taught them to do it, and they've just always done it. And we come into God's house and we take communion, and we try to remind folks that communion is for the Christian. Communion is for the child of God. Communion is for those who have been born again and who know Jesus as their Savior. But outside of that, a lot of people, no matter how many times we go to the communion service, really don't grasp why we take communion. And tonight, just a few thoughts about why communion and why it's important in our lives. If you read in verses 23 down through number 25, the Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Number one, we take communion to remember. Amen. We take communion to remember. Just like the night that Jesus gathered with his disciples there in that upper room, they gathered to remember. They gathered to eat the Passover. They gathered to eat that night that which God had ordained and which God had committed unto his people, that they should remember to do this at a certain time and in a set place and in a set way and in a set manner, because it reminded them of God's deliverance when the death angel passed throughout Egypt and killed the firstborn of all the living creatures. And all the people who were in Egypt who were not under the blood of the Passover lamb. And he told them when they come out, he said, this will be an ordinance for you. This is something that you're going to do that you will remember. And when your children ask why, you'll be able to tell them why they eat the Passover and why we celebrate it. Jesus knew the importance of remembering what God had done and God's deliverance. And as he broke that bread, and as he took that cup tonight, and as he gave it to his disciples, he said, this do in remembrance of me, because he knew the time would come when men's hearts and minds would be hardened. And we needed to be reminded. When men and women would get so carried away and so wrapped up in the things that are going about and going on in the church, they forget about why they're going on. See, it's all about Jesus tonight. This service is about Jesus. This church is about Jesus. Our life as Christians is about Jesus. And Jesus knows mankind, and he knows our hearts, and he knows that we're apt and prone to forget things. When's the last time you thought about the night you got, or the day you got saved? Been a while. It's good to remember. Amen. It's good to remember when you got saved. It's good to remember when you realized that you was a sinner, lost and undone, and hung out over hell. And the only thing that kept you from dropping into the pits of hell was the very grace of God. And some old preacher or some old Christian, somebody somewhere, told you that Jesus died for you. They hung him on an old rugged cross. They beat him and abused him that he might bear your sins. They shed every drop of his precious blood that he might cleanse you from your sins. And by the grace of God, you don't have to go to that place called hell. Amen. By the grace of God, through the blood and the body of Christ, you can have salvation. And you can know that you know that you know that you know that if you would die tonight, you'd go to heaven. You wouldn't split that place called hell wide open. It's good to remember the night you got saved, the day that you got saved. It's good to remember what Jesus has done for you, that you didn't have to go to a place called hell. That even as a sinner, you were loved enough that God would send his son to die for you. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. This do in remembrance of me. Be reminded of the broken body. Be reminded of the blood that flowed. This do in remembrance of me. And in verse 26, he says, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." We take communion tonight that we might rejoice. Verse 26 so says, as often as we do this, we show his death until he returns. He died that he might redeem me from the curse of sin. He died that he might save me from a place called hell. He died that I might have life eternal. And praise God, that's something to rejoice in. And every time I'm reminded of his death, it reminds me of the life that I have in him. Every time I'm reminded of his suffering, it reminds me that he suffered for me. Every time that I'm reminded that he had to die, I'm reminded that he died that I could just live. And I could have life. And Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life, and they might have life more abundantly." You see, I rejoice because I'm saved. I'm rejoiced because I can talk about the death of my precious Savior, because he died for me. I can rejoice tonight. And I can enjoy the service tonight. We take it as a solemn time. But it needs to be a time of solemn rejoicing, if you understand what I'm meaning. In your heart, you know that because Jesus died, you're going to live. And you know that as long as you can tell people about the death, there's a chance another soul might get saved. And he says, we show his death until he comes again. We rejoice tonight, because if Jesus comes back tonight, I know that heaven's my home. Amen. If Jesus comes back tonight, I have that assurance, according to the authority of God's word, that eternal salvation, eternal life, eternal rejoicing around the throne of God is mine. You see, I rejoice tonight because Jesus was my Passover lamb. Jesus suffered and died for me that I might be able to think and be reminded that by the death of that precious lamb, life and eternity has been granted unto me. Folks, we need to be happy as we rejoice in what Jesus has done for us. He said, "This do in remembrance of me, for as long as we do it, we show his death until he comes." And friends, if you don't have anything else in this world to rejoice about, since you got saved, you can rejoice in the fact that he's coming again. Amen. And he's coming to claim his church. It's a time for us to repent. Verse 27 says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself." It's a time of personal reflection upon our hearts. It's a time of spiritual conviction upon our life. It's a time in Scripture when we're reminded to look at our own life and not worry about anybody else's, but worry about me and where I am and where I stand with Jesus today. I know I'm saved, and praise God, I hope you're here tonight and you're saved. And if you're not. I hope you know and realize that you can be saved tonight, and you can rejoice in what Jesus has done for you. You can rejoice in what Jesus has given you. But you need to examine your life and see where you stand. You need to examine your life and see if there's sin there that don't belong there, because sin does not belong in the life of a Christian. Amen. And he says, when we partake and we haven't dealt with the sin in our life, we eat or we take of the bread and we drink of the cup unworthily with sin in our life. It says we, basically what it's trying to say is we're making a mockery. We're making a mockery of what Christ has done. He gave everything that we might have everything. He gave everything so that we could just put everything under his blood. He gave everything for us. And all he wants is for us to remember to look at our heart, to remember to look at our life, to remember that if there's sin there, that he died, he suffered to pay your sin debt. And if there's sin there, we need to deal with it. One of the greatest travesties in the church today is unconfessed sin. All we have to do is ask for his forgiveness. And the Bible says it's ours. Amen. But we know there's sin in our life. We've been convicted because we know. We've been convicted because of the Spirit. We've been convicted because of the Word. And yet we'll go on and allow that sin to remain unrepented. To allow that sin to remain unconfessed. And we go about talking about being Christians. And it says we basically make a mockery out of what Jesus has done. The unsaved individual can mock what Jesus has done. The saved person can mock what Jesus has done. But if we examine ourselves and earnestly and honestly deal with ourselves, we can honor what he wants us to remember. We can honor what he wants to do. We can honor his death and his body that was broken, his blood that was shed. We can honor everything that he's done for us. You see, sin separates. Sin separates God's people from God. His fellowship is broken. God says your sin has separated between you and your God. Amen? We think that's only for the Old Testament. It's for the New Testament as well. Amen? I don't lose my salvation, but I lose fellowship. Let me tell you what now. I pick on Deb all the time, but, you know, we have had our knockdown dragouts over the years. And I'm not airing dirty laundry. You all have, too. You've had your severe disagreements. Amen. And there's times when we still love each other, but we don't talk to each other. Amen. Honest, anybody, any married couple here never been that way? Any married couple never been that way? Raise your hand. I want to come shake your hand because you're the first one I've ever known or ever heard of. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You can live in the same house, sleep in the same bed, eat the same food, you can go to the same church, but there's not a sweet fellowship. Amen. Amen. That sweet joy of relationship isn't there. You know why we need to be remembered and be reminded? Be remembered, ain't that something? Why we need to be reminded and we need to remember at this time is so that we can get as close to God, amen, as close to the Lord as we can be, so that we can be as reconciled to Him as we can be in Christ. Verse 30 says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." You see, Jesus wants us to be reminded of His broken body and of His shed blood. To be reminded of why there was a broken body and why there was the shed blood. Because of my sin, the sinless Savior had to die. But now He says if we would examine ourselves and we would judge ourselves, in other words, if we would be honest with ourselves and where we stand, and we would take the chastening of the Spirit as it speaks to our heart and brings conviction and shows us our sin and confess it, that we wouldn't find ourselves condemned with the world, but that we could be in a right relationship. We could be in a right place spiritually. We could be where we need to be, as close to Him as we can be, because we have judged ourselves and we have taken care of the sin. We have removed the impediments to our fellowship and our lives together. You know, how much better was it when you reconciled your differences with your spouse and your loved one or whoever it was that you had the difference with, and you said, I'm sorry, let's get over this, I'm sorry, and you make things right. The reconciliation is so much sweeter than the anger of separation. And we enjoy that relationship. Jesus said, "This do in remembrance of me." This do because we need to remember. This do because we need to rejoice. This do because we need repentance in our lives. This do because we need to be reconciled unto God. First John 1:9. "For He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." If we repent, we're reconciled. If we repent, we have a right relationship. If we repent, we're where we need to be. That's why communion is so important in our lives, so that we're reminded to be where God wants us to be. And tonight, as we stand to our feet and we bow,